All right, 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to begin a new series today called The Call of Grace. The Call of Grace. And if you have studied or read much in the Scriptures at all, you will know that every person that God called, He called them out. You know, He called out Abraham. He called Moses out. He called people out. And whenever that calling came, that calling was a divine calling. It wasn't an earthly calling. You know, when you think about the calling of Moses, and this happens, I'm convinced, with a lot of people, a lot of ministries, a lot of people. When Moses was called, he misinterpreted that call. He thought that because he was a prince of Egypt, that God was going to use him through his human princely strength to deliver the nation of Israel. That's why he murdered that Egyptian slave driver that was hurting the Hebrews. We find that a lot of people misinterpret the call of God because we tend to think of God calling us out. Now, you have to understand, because you are here in this service today, God has called you out. You are a part of the ecclesia, the church, the called out ones. You've been called out. And I think we need to get to the place in our lives where we stop apologizing for holiness. We stop apologizing for being different. Amen. We stop apologizing for who we are. You know, we're called out ones. Everybody say, I'm a called out one. See, we are called out by grace. We're not called out by human strength. Now, the younger, I notice there's quite a few young people here today. The younger you are, and the sooner you learn this, the better off you will be. Amen. The reason that senior folks are so meek and teachable is because they've learned that they can't do this in their own strength. Amen. They've learned, you know, after you live life a while, you learn that you cannot function in your own strength. You learn you cannot make it happen enough. You cannot control it enough. You cannot manipulate it enough. You cannot make it happen enough, even through religion. There is no human strength that can make your life happen the way you desire it to happen. You can't make it happen through your own ability. Now, let me talk just a little bit about how that works in the negative, okay? How we try to call ourselves out, the way this works in the negative. When you're young, you know, when you're young, there's hormones that are raging through your body. You older people, don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. When you're young, it's like you can't discern sometimes what is love and what's not love. You know, if you love me, you will. Let me say this, that's not love. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
See, but now a young person with their hormones raging in their life, when they hear that, they think, well, you know, I do love them. No, let me tell you what real love is. Real love is changing baby diapers. Real love is cleaning up baby puke. Real love is helping to wash the dishes. Real love is vacuuming when you don't feel like vacuuming. Real love is mowing the yard. Real love is saying, I'm sorry. There was a lie years ago that said love means you never have to say you're sorry, and that's just a big bunch of baloney, because if you really love somebody, you're going to apologize and say, I'm sorry. Real love is self-sacrificial. If you don't know what that means, let me tell you. It means that instead of you putting pressure under her for her to give you sex, you're going to say, no, I'm not even going to go there. I'm not even going to put her under pressure for sex. I'm going to sacrifice these hormones raging through my body, and I'm going to put those down because I really love this person, and I don't want to put them under pressure. Amen. Real love doesn't put people under pressure. Right. I'm talking better than y'all saying amen now. This is good preaching. Amen. See, listen. The way people try to call themselves out is that this. Let's just take this young couple here. Not knowing anybody here in this room. To be honest, y'all may not even know this. My glasses are pretty strong. Now, I can see when I'm here reading, but if I'm looking at y'all look like a big blur to me, which I like it that way. Because, see, I can't see your faces. I can't, you see what I'm saying? But now, listen, trying to call yourself out. Let's just take a young couple here. Let's just say there's a young couple, and they're trying to fulfill their desires in their own strength, okay? If you young men want to find your place in life, then find your place through the strength of God, not through the strength of your manipulation and control. Amen. Not through the strength of trying to get something to happen through emotional strength. Because as the grass withers and as the flower fades, your emotional strength will be gone someday, and you're going to be standing there with a bunch of stuff that you've created, and you're not going to know what to do with it. But if you start young, everybody say young. Young. You start young saying, Father, not my will. I choose to be called out by grace. I choose to be called out by your strength. Listen, it's a divine call. It's an honorable call. It's a blessed call for God. Listen, you don't know how blessed you are to be here today.
That's right.
You are so blessed to be here today to hear what I've got to say.
Amen.
You are so blessed to hear what the Lord is trying to say through me. I'm not saying I'm a perfect vessel to get it out, but I'm saying there is a calling where we are called out, just like the children of Israel were called out of Egypt. Now listen, while that calling was going on, you've got to remember, they didn't get to leave immediately because Pharaoh was holding them captive, the same way a lot of people's flesh are holding them captive. Amen? But you know what? Even while they were being held captive, they were in the land of Goshen, where it was light when it was dark in Egypt. Where they didn't have the plague of the lice, the fleas, the frogs in Goshen, where they had them in Egypt. That's the same way it is for us as the body of Christ. It's the same way. We're in light. The world's getting darker and darker and darker. Let me tell you this now, folks. How dark does it have to be for somebody to pull out a can of mace at Walmart and spray people in the face because they're going to get a product that they want? How dark is that? I'm telling you, I think we need to quit calling it Black Friday and start calling it Free Friday. Amen? Amen. It's like you understand what I'm saying? How dark is the world? How dark is it when you think about it? Listen, there is a calling of grace on our lives. There's a calling of grace where God is calling us out to say, you don't have to go to Walmart and fight over a product. Dear Lord God, I mean, if you'll wait 3 weeks, you probably get it cheaper anyway. I mean, to go to Walmart and get in a fight over a product. I'm not saying that to belittle. I'm just saying to think about how carnal and dark people have gotten. That they think if they don't go fight over it and spray people with mace. Spraying people with mace. I'm just saying that to give you an illustration here. Everybody say, I'm called out.
I'm called out.
I'll tell you, you can be called out by God's grace to the point that you don't have to go to Walmart and fight over anything. It'll just come to your life somewhere. The Lord will get it there. How many of you have witnessed and seen Him do that? I've seen Him do that. I've seen Him do it. You don't have to go to Walmart to fight over something. You don't have to fight this world system on their level. We're not even called to fight against them. We're called to fight the fight of faith. The faith of standing. The faith of believing. The faith of resting in God. The faith of this grace. This called out divine ability of God working in our lives, where we are not trying to manipulate and control something to get what we want. The problem with manipulation and controlling something to get what you want is once you get it. Let's say the woman at Walmart sprayed the mace in the people's faces so she could get that crock pot. Well, once she got that crock pot, she's going to have to live with forever that she sprayed mace in somebody's face to get it. Do you think she's going to enjoy it that much? Do you see what I'm saying? I know I've gone to meddling here a little bit, but I think it bears out necessity at times that people need to understand how carnal the world is, how dark. You are called out into light. Can you say amen? You're called out into light. Now, turn with me. Did you find 1 Peter chapter 5?
Yes.
We're going to read this here from verse 5. Look at 1 Peter 5, verse 5. It says, "Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and give grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Notice this now. "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus." Notice that after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strengthened, and settle you. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Now, I want to talk about that 10th verse there. "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered." Everybody say suffered. You know, we don't like that word. Especially grace folks don't like that word. But I love what Pastor Alan Spiegel says. He says, grace folks have enough grace to do it. People don't like the word suffered. And he's not talking about car wrecks and sickness and disease and poverty. He's talking about you and I allowing our will to be suffered, allowing our will to be held in check, allowing our emotions to be bridled while God accomplishes the very thing that we're wanting Him to accomplish. See, if you'll notice here, notice what he says. "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect." Now, I just did a little study on these words. Make you perfect, established, strengthened, and settled. I just want to share that word perfect there means fullness. Everybody say fullness. How many of you want a full bank account?
Amen.
How many of you want a full cupboard?
Amen.
How many of you want a full heart?
Amen.
Amen. See, we want fullness. We want fullness. The reason most people get involved in illicit sexual relationships are because they're looking for fullness. They're looking for acceptance. They're wanting someone to love them, to care about them. They're wanting that. I'm convinced the reason that a lot of the perversion that goes on in the world is people are manipulatively trying to find innocence when innocence is found in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So see, that word fullness there means complete, thoroughly mended, repaired, and restored. Listen, "but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you full," have fullness or perfection or completeness. Notice this, "established." That word means to set in a certain direction. When you're established, you're set in a certain direction. Every little wind and every little whelm is not going to move you. Every little enticement that comes along, well, you know, baby, 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 baby. I love you, baby, 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 baby. You're my baby, baby, baby. I love you, baby, baby. A baby, 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 baby. I love you, baby, baby, baby. I don't know why I can't get off this, but evidently somebody needs this in here today. You've got to get over the baby mentality. You've got to get over that feeling, the feelings. Listen, let God set you in a certain direction toward His kingdom and His life.
Amen.
Say amen, somebody.
Amen.
Now, I want to show you something here. The way to do this, listen, the way to do this is by casting your care upon the Lord. By giving Him that care. Lord, I want someone to love me. I want someone to accept me. I want someone to like me. I want someone. You know, I am convinced that so many opportunities in life are missed by people that are so passive, that want everybody to like them, that they're wanting someone to like them so bad that they're missing what God's got right in front of them. And it's getting cool in here now, guys, so you can shut it off. When you see them putting their coats on, shut it off. But giving the Lord that care, Lord, I humble myself to you. You know, I really want to be married. I really want a mate. I really want what you, I really want this the way you have it for me. There is a meekness that comes with humility that says, Lord, I can't do this. I can't do this in my own strength. I can't do this in my own ability. I can't do this my way, Lord. I'm going to have to give it to you. Now see, when you do that, that boss comes in and says something that offends you. You won't take the bait. You won't take the bait when someone tries to manipulate you into a sexual relationship that you know is not God's will. You won't take the bait when somebody tries to greedily pull you into a financial situation that you know is not, you know something inside of you is gnawing at you about that. You won't take the bait of that and fall over into sin trying to fulfill a desire that God's wanting to give you to start with. But He's wanting to do it His way. Notice what he said. He says, verse 10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered. You know what that word suffered means? After you've resisted. Resisted what? Resisted the temptation to do it yourself. Resisted the temptation to do it in your own strength. After you've resisted that for a while, after you've bridled your own emotions, bridled your own will, after you've bridled yourself up and said, no, I'm just going to be still. I'm just going to rest. I'm not going to endeavor to do this in my own strength. I'm going to give the Lord my care. I'm going to humble myself. See, a lot of people think that pride is where you put your thumbs in your lapel. I'm sure there's a form of pride this way. You know, you all have heard the old saying, well, we're pole, but we're proud. Well, that's why you're supposed, because you're so proud. I said, I'm going to say that again. That's why you're supposed, because you're so proud. See, prideful people, listen, I'm learning. There's a lot that I'm learning, and God's showing me and teaching me a whole lot. You know something? There's something about people that will not cast their care over on the Lord. You can't teach them anything. They're unteachable.
Amen,
they're unteachable.
Amen.
They're unteachable. We know about that. Well, listen. You may know about it, but I promise you there's something you don't know about it. The more you learn, the more you realize how little you do know.
Amen.
Amen. The more you walk with the Lord, the more you realize, man, I need to humble myself to be teachable. Humbling yourself. See, pride is not just putting your thumbs in your lapel and thinking that you got it all, or you know, that maybe you've got money, you've got whatever, you got prestige or whatever. There's a degree of pride where you carry worry and fear and anxiety that is a whole lot bigger of pride than someone putting their fingers in their lapel. He said, humble yourself, casting the whole of your care over on the Lord. The whole of your care means that you are giving Him the opportunity to fulfill every need that you have in your life without your human strength doing it. without your ability. God, I'm resting. I'm just, the only labor I'm having, the only labor I'm going to have is to enter into the rest of God. But you notice here what he said. He said, if you will, now notice here, he said, you will have established, this word strengthened here in verse 10 means strengthened in spiritual knowledge and power. Hallelujah. Strengthened in spiritual knowledge and power. What do you need strength in spiritual knowledge and power for? God will give you the wisdom to show you how to get the thing that you've been wanting to get to start with, but you'll get it through His grace, the called grace of God, rather than human strength and ability. Grace, we've heard it said before, is unmerited favor. That's absolutely the truth. Can you say amen? But you know, it's not only unmerited favor, it is the divine ability of God working through you to accomplish the very thing that you can't do. You're not able to do it. Paul said, Lord, remove this thorn from me. Get it away from me. The Lord said, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. There's some things where you can just walk through them, and the grace is there to walk through it. Grace, everybody say, called out. You're called out to grace. We are a called out generation to the grace of God. Then he said you would be settled. I don't know about y'all, but this one thing is the older I get, the more I love about life. I love being settled. I don't think I'm called to. I do go to Africa and different missions things and try to help my friends in different meetings and stuff. But you know, I love being at home. I love home. I love a settled life. I don't know how anybody can stand it traveling all the time. These itinerant ministers, they got a grace on them I don't have. I like being at home. I love being a pastor. I love that. But see, he said our lives would be settled. Settled. Listen to this. He said you will have fullness, established lives, strengthened lives, and settled lives if you'll give the care over to the Lord who's calling you out by His grace. Are you with me now? Now, here's some ways, I'm going to give you some ways in my remaining time to know if you're carrying care. How do you know when you haven't humbled yourself and you've not given that over to the Lord? How do you know that? Well, I went back and I just did a study on the way. You know, you remember when the children of Israel left Egypt and they were going to go into the promised land, but there was a generation that couldn't go into the promised land because they wouldn't give the care of it to the Lord. They wouldn't trust the Lord. I went back and the Lord said to him, he said, these 10 times you have tempted me. So I went back and I studied those 10 different ways the children of Israel tempted the Lord. How they couldn't enter in to the calling of God. See, God called them out of Egypt. You all know that God's calling us out. He's calling us out. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, that thrills me. He's calling us out of this world system over into a system, the kingdom of God system that will function even as we walk through this world. It will function in a way that will bring peace and productivity into our lives, but without all of the worry, fear, anxiety, and care. Hallelujah's right. Glory to God. Amen. Where we can walk with Him. But you'll know you're carrying care if there, number one, the number one thing that happened to the children of Israel was they had negative sarcasm. You remember they got out into the wilderness in about a day or two's journey and they told Moses, and you know what, I started to give you all of the scriptural references for these, but the Lord yesterday, I was getting all this finalized and the Lord said, just really rose up my heart and said, don't give it to them. They're going to need to look it up themselves. You do the study. Find out there's 10 times that they tempted the Lord and they missed the promised land because they tempted the Lord. And one of those times, they got negative sarcasm. And what that means is they got out into the wilderness and said, well, the reason He brought us out here because there wasn't enough graves over there in Egypt for Him to bury us in. And boy, negative sarcasm. If you're walking in negative sarcasm, you'll know that you're carrying care. Well, the reason He did this was because of that. Well, He said this to them because I'm All right, here we go. Number two. Puts pressure on other people to solve your problem. There's a group, you know, that's doing that in this nation all over the place now, trying to get other people to join in with them. It's not some bank's responsibility to give money to people that camp out in the park. I don't care how much. If Jim Gattin is a multi-billionaire sitting here, it is not his responsibility to take care of me.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? I can't put pressure on him to take care of me for something I won't take the responsibility for.
Amen.
Amen. Now, if Jim wants to write me a check for $2 or $3 million, well, I'll take that. Amen. But for me to try to pressure him or to manipulate him, listen, is a way of me carrying care. I'm trying to get him to do something that only God can do for me. Well, you know them church folks down there, they are to pay people's electric bill. Listen to me. No, you ought to pay your own electric bill. I mean, everybody runs up against a hard time every now and then, but we ought to be able to be self-sufficient in all things. And if you find that you keep being not sufficient in all things, then that's where you need to have a heart exam. This is good preaching. Amen. Number three. Are you writing these down? These are good. Constant complaining about life. Constant complaining. I mean, all of us would complain every now and then. It was so funny. Last week we talked about Thanksgiving, you know. And I went to El Tap to eat, and Beth ordered this dish, and I thought it was a different dish. And I said, I thought it was a different one, and I wanted to get the same one that she got. But when it came out, it wasn't. It was a completely different dish. And I started complaining about it, you know. Well, Chris and Amanda were sitting there, and I said, well, be thankful. They just started, be thankful. Well, in a little while, I got some red sauce and dripped it right down my shirt, and I started complaining about that. Well, be thankful. Be thankful. You know, they were letting me have my own message back, amen. The thing about it is, we all might complain sometimes, but it shouldn't be a constant way of life.
That's right.
We shouldn't constantly complain about everything. Amen. Number four, an obvious disobedience to God's will. You know you're carrying care if you're obviously disobedient to God's will. You know, I mean, I don't have to go into all that. You know God's will in regard to walking in love, giving, being obedient, being faithful. Amen. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I mean, that's a golden rule in regard to God's will. Here's a big one that I find in grace circles. I tell you, somebody that don't know anything about grace gets a hold of a little bit of grace, and they think they know everything. But here's something that I find is unteachable. If you're unteachable, you're carrying care. Because you won't humble yourself enough. You know, we used to say years ago we were so poor we couldn't pay attention. Have you ever been so poor you couldn't pay attention? Well, I have been so, I mean, literally, think about that. I have been so poor that I couldn't pay attention. Why? Because I'm too busy trying to figure out what somebody's trying to teach me, and I'm trying to do it because you're so poor, you got that poverty mentality. You're trying to work something all the time to make something happen. Unteachable. If you're teachable, listen to me, grace folks. Humble yourselves and be teaching. Be teachable. We all need to be teachable. Number six, they were disrespectful. They were disrespectful. You know, there's nothing wrong. Y'all aware there's nothing wrong with saying thank you. There's nothing wrong with appreciating what people do. There's nothing wrong with saying, may I? There's nothing wrong with having good manners. You know, there's nothing wrong with teaching your children to say, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. There's nothing wrong with teaching enough for us to be respectful.
That's right.
There's nothing wrong with opening the door for someone.
That's right.
There's nothing wrong with, you know, somehow or another, we want to be careful that we don't lose respect and value. Number seven, we taught on this last week, they were unthankful. They were complaining because they were looking back to Egypt and thinking about the garlics. Listen, they were thinking about garlic melons, leeks. They said, wish we were in Egypt. Sound like a bunch of Italians to me, you know. We want lasagna. We don't want this food that God's given us. We want some spaghetti and lasagna. No, see, they were unthankful. Listen, thinking about, here's a big one now, guys. You seniors, listen to me now. Looking back to the good old days. Let me tell you something. We are living in the good old days. We're thankful for today. Amen. We're thankful for what we have now. See, you can tell you're carrying care if you're unthankful. Number 8, this is all that the children of Israel did that kept them from going into the promised land. They compared the present to the past. They were looking back. See, they were thinking about those leeks and onions and garlics, but they forgot about them stripes going on their back. They forgot about having to make them bricks. They forgot about the taskmaster. Amen. Number 9, they were in rebellion to leadership and authority. Who made you a ruler over us, they said to Moses. His own brother and sister did that to him. Who made you a ruler over us? Listen, it kept them out of the promised land. Kept them out of the promised land. They were carrying care. And the scripture says if they had only looked, they said Moses was one of the meekest men, or the meekest man on the face of the earth. The most humble man on the face of the earth. Number 10, they were looking to what the earth was around them rather than looking to heaven from where their redemption came from. When God called Abraham by his grace, listen to this now. When he called him out, he said, Abraham, this is what I want you to do. He said, I want you to look up. I want you to look up. Everybody say, look up.
Look up.
See, when God's calling you out, he's not going to have you to look around at everything around you. He's going to have you lift up your head and look up from where your redemption comes from.
Yes.
God is not going to have you looking at people. He's not going to have you looking at circumstances. He's going to have you to lift up. When God called Abraham, he said, lift up your head and look. Lift up your head. Why would God want him to lift up his head and look? He wanted him to get his eyes off of the circumstance. Why did God want the children of Israel to look to the promised land instead of looking at the giants? He wanted them to look to him. He wanted them to see the victory out in front. He wanted them to see that he is Jehovah Nissi. Their victory banner.
Amen.
And I want to tell you something, folks. This calling of grace, when we're called out by grace, when we recognize it's God's divine ability working in our lives, you know what? We're not going to stop because of what the world does, because of what people do. We're just going to keep walking by faith. Because why? We're being called out. You are being called out by the grace of God. You're not being called out by your situations and circumstances. You're not being called out by, we're not being called out because we look so pretty. We're not being called out because we do everything just right. We're not being called out because we're perfect. We're being called out into perfection so he can establish us, settle us, strengthen us, and make us full. Hallelujah. That is what being called out by grace will do. Being called out by God's divine ability will strengthen us. It will settle us. It will establish us. And it will make us full. I don't know about you. I like full. I like being full. Amen? Amen. Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes, please? Oh, thank you.